This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I welcome you all here the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. The Father heard a service that you received on the way in. For those watching at home, our hymns will be 895, 699, 956, 507, 570, and 965. It will be followed by Divine Service 4 out of the Lutheran service. We'll begin with confession and absolution on page 3, followed by the Lavat sharing of peace and the procession of him. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, have the record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon in prayer and praise to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us kneel and be seated for the confession of sin. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, whose mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant, Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, your mercy attends us all our days. Be our strength and support amid the wearisome changes of this world. And in life's end, grant us your promised rest and the full joys of your salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's Holy Word.
The Old Testament reading for this, the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God.
Rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse. Come to me, all
labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for the children's message.
Good, I don't have to move too far because I've got to set things down in a minute. But what a great place to be here in God's house. And I'm sure a lot of you remember this. So if you hear it, everybody remembers that, right? It's good things aren't too good. It's me and Larry and Dale. We know what these things are, right? This is a lot of fun. Staples has a commercial. What am I going to do? I'm out of printer.
Continue with the sermon hymn, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, on page 8.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everybody loves a winner. Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Winners never quit. Quitters never win. There are a lot of inspirational quotes about winners and winning. We want to be winners. I want to think that I'm doing it better than others. I want to think that I am the best. I want to believe that I am a winner. We learn self-talk for winners. I am good enough, and I am smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. Everybody loves a winner. I so much want to be a winner. I want to be the best pastor ever. Today in our epistle reading, we get some insights from arguably the greatest missionary of all times, Paul of Tarsus. St. Paul, the author of at least 13 New Testament books. What can I learn from Paul that will help make me a winner? What are his insights for victorious living? What makes Paul tick? I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Whoa, wait a minute. What is Paul talking about? What kind of victorious life is this? He can't even control himself. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. What's with all this loser self-talk? I can't do it. I can't control my own actions. I'm a loser. I'm a wretch. This is St. Paul. We name churches after this guy. He's the one whose writings are God-breathed Holy Scripture, and here he is admitting that he is a wretched sinner, just like the rest of us. Paul's honesty here is amazing and brutally accurate for all of us. You so much want to be a winner, but you do not understand your own actions. For you do not do what you want, but you do the very thing you hate. Me too. This kind of honesty regarding the battle with sin is a hard truth to face, but you know it is the truth. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who? Who will save me? Well, there he is. Prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, coming down the mountain in a majestic procession into Jerusalem. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Here the Savior comes in his Palm Sunday procession, but hold on. Wait a minute. What is he riding? Is he proudly astride a great war horse? No. He is sitting humbly on a baby donkey, taking awkward little steps down the path into Jerusalem. What kind of king is this? This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He is a loser king and king of the losers. As we watch him ride the little donkey colt into Jerusalem, we know that he's riding into a trap set by the winners in Jerusalem. They are going to win in their conflict with Jesus, even if it means killing him. And that's exactly what they plan to do. They arrest this itinerant preacher from Nazareth on Thursday evening and they tie him up and they blindfold him, and they bully him and torment him. We watch the strong abuse the weak. The winners humiliate the loser. In the morning, the cruelty heats up as they bring Jesus to the Roman governor, who himself is too weak to stand up to the winners of Jerusalem. And he allows Jesus to be brutally flogged and then dressed up as a king and mocked. He's crowned with thorns as they cry out, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And then Pilate washes his hands of the whole affair and lets the Jewish leaders crucify Jesus. The bloody loser king is paraded through the streets to Calvary, where he's stripped naked and nailed to a cross to slowly suffer and die in humiliation and agony as the ultimate loser. Above his head is a sign mocking him, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Everybody loves a winner, and Jesus is the ultimate loser. He is King of the losers. Who are the people that Jesus reaches out to in his ministry? Kings and princes? The wealthy and powerful? The popular, cool kids? No. Jesus seeks after tax collectors, prostitutes, foreigners, little children, adulterers, lepers, the blind, the lame, the hungry, the demon-possessed. Jesus comes for the losers of society. He is the loser king, the king of the losers. Authentic Christianity is a tough thing to market. You want to be able to put on the church sign, "Come and learn how to be a winner and a success in life." But to be honest, we should put on the sign, "Come and learn that you're a loser." Everybody loves a winner, and Christianity is not about being a winner. It's about knowing, along with St. Paul, that you are a loser. "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" If you stay at Calvary with dead Jesus, you are left in your sin, condemned by the law, dead in your trespasses. But Jesus' story does not end at Calvary. Just as he said he would, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus conquered sin. Jesus conquered death. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. This makes all the difference. Jesus died for the sins of the world and rose again to save you. "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus saves you. You, a sinner who struggles with temptations and gives in way too often. Jesus comes to save sinners. As St. Paul writes in 1 Timothy, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." You are a sinner, and you have been saved by Jesus. You are, at the same time, a sinner and a saint. Martin Luther coined this phrase in Latin, "Simul ustes et peccator," at the same time, saint and sinner. This is such great good news for the losers of the world who know they cannot be good enough, who know they need help. Jesus saves sinners. And we learn in Matthew 11, at that time Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and have revealed them to little children." Jesus comes for the weak and broken. He comes to those who are outcasts of society, the sick and the suffering. He comes for little children, those without status or standing, those without wisdom and understanding of the world. At that time, from Matthew 18, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus comes for hurting, helpless people who know their sin. He comes for those burdened by sin. He opens his arms to them and says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Being bound to Jesus is having the weight of your sins lifted off. Being yoked to Jesus means you are set free from the heavy load of the law. As a baptized follower of Jesus, you live knowing you are in Christ, who is gentle and lowly. In Christ, you will find rest and restoration. The world believes that everybody loves a winner and that winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. But they're wrong. Jesus comes for the outcasts, the weak, those who know they cannot be good enough. What people think is winning in this life will lead to eternal death. The humble loser king, king of the losers, came to save you and give you eternal life with God in the heavenly city. In Christ, you are a winner. In Christ, you will rise from the dead to eternal victory. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Amen. And now the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
Worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe. acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayer today to remember Sheila Barber, who had brain cancer, Scott Barrett, Tim Williams' brother, had bone cancer, Brian Bowman, Dolores' son, waiting shoulder surgery, for Lucas Weiss, the unborn great-grandson of Pastor Camps, who's having complications but doing better, for Virginia Elrod, who had rehabilitation in Jamestown, for Gary Blink, Don Schumacher's father, who's been diagnosed with cancer, for Nancy Hedrick, Ruth Selmayr's cousin, who's been diagnosed with MS, for Cheryl McNutt, who has fallen and broken her pelvis, for Sarah Collins, the aunt of Tiffany, one of our daycare workers, who's suffering from advanced kidney and heart failure, and for Deanna Hughes, who's Selmayr's daughter, who's having serious liver problems. Merciful Lord, hear the prayers of your people and grant to us grace sufficient for our needs and all those for whom we pray. Our God and King, as once your people received you in joy, open our hearts to rejoice in your coming, so that we may meet you in your word and sacrament, for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Help us to bless and extol your name before the nations and declare your salvation to the generations to come, proclaiming that you are merciful and gracious and abounding in steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
merciful God and Lord, you are good to all your creation. Continue to bless your church and to provide for her faithful pastors who will preach and teach your word and church workers who will serve us in your name. Make bold our witness before the nations and help us to act in love toward neighbor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
Creator, Lord, from you all things come and to you all things are directed. Provide for our nation faithful leaders who will hear and heed your law. Protect and defend the citizens, preserve the precious gift of liberty, and inspire us to use our freedom honorably. Make us mindful of all the heritage of our forebears that have given this land, and guide us to be faithful in our stewardship of all the resources you have provided. Lord, in your mercy, our wise and giving God, you are the God of truth, and in you there is no falsehood or deception. Help us to delight in your law, to love what is good and true and right, and seek after these things. Help us to wage war against the old Adam within us. Restore us when we stray from your word, and forgive us when we give into the devil's temptations. Lord, in your mercy, our compassionate Lord, we do not suffer low the pain and afflictions of this life, but we live them out within your grace and are sustained by your mercy. Hear us on behalf of the sick, those who suffer, the grieving, and those to whom death is near, especially Sheila, Scott, Brian, Lucas, Virginia, Gary, Nancy, Cheryl, Sarah, and Deanna. According to your will, deliver them from their afflictions and give you all your strength, patience, and hope, that they may endure to eternal life. Show compassion and drive out all pestilence from our land. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Heavenly Father and gracious God, as we come to the table of your Son, grant us faith and repentance so we may receive with joy and thanksgiving his flesh and his blood, in his bread and his blood and his cup. Grant us your Holy Spirit that what we have received with our lips we may keep in holiness of life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things, blessed Lord, we pray you to grant us according to your merciful goodness and for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is good. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love, shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and laid on him our sin, giving him in death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name and are praising you and saying, saying, drink of it all. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you all. strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. One quick announcement. The men's Monday night Bible study has resumed, but they are taking this Monday off for the holiday weekend. So the following Monday they will be back. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.